This is Martha Burke with Equal Time. Today I'm talking with Dan Lewis, candidate for mayor of the state's largest city, Albuquerque. The election is November 14th. Though the election is nonpartisan, Dan Lewis identifies as a Republican. His opponent, Tim Keller, identifies as a Democrat. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Lewis. Welcome to Equal Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's go ahead and start with the number one issue for voters in most of the polls, and that's crime. I know you want to hire more police officers, but the latest thing in the news is the conflict between the police department and the monitor that was appointed by the Justice Department a while back. The monitor says APD compliance is lagging. They've mandated the improvements on paper, but they're not following through. The police department says he's making things up and making things worse than they're making it out to be worse than it is. Who's right? And as mayor, how would you approach this issue?
Well, this is a court proceeding. It's a legal proceeding. We're in we're 2.5 years into a 4-year agreement with the DOJ. There's a prosecutor, which is the DOJ. There's a defense, which is the city of Albuquerque. And then you have the court, the federal court, and the judge that's presiding over it. And then you have a monitor that's really there to be a mediator. He's there to be helpful. And I think that the defense, that the city attorney, saw that there was some bias there. And when one of the parties sees some bias and they have evidence of it, then they present it before the court, show it to the judge, and here's the evidence. And you know, the only way to have integrity in the process and have a fair process is to know that you have a fair monitor and a monitor that's there working for you. So, you know, when I've looked at the issue, and certainly I've been, you know, watching it and involved in it. And, you know, I have some great concern about this monitor right now, if he's really here and has the best interests of the city in mind.
And as a city councilor, which you are a sitting councilor now, have you had any interaction at all with the monitor?
Well, yeah. I mean, I voted on his contracts. I voted against him. I voted against paying him any money. I didn't think that this was the right guy. I think he's, you know, not the right person to be, you know, mitigating and working with us. And I think he's proven that. You know, certainly I've been a big critic of APD staff, of the command staff. You know, and I have a different way that we're going to lead. We're going to lead it from the front. As mayor, we will not let the courts and the DOJ drag us along. We're going to lead it from the front, and we're going to complete this reform process. We're going to finish up the agreements that we made. And we're going to get the DOJ out of here, you know, as soon as possible, if not in 4 years, sooner, and take control of this department. And it's going to be new leadership in APD, new chief, and we're going to build the most respected and trusted police department in the country.
It's only a few days till the election, and if you win, you're only going to have a couple of weeks till you take office. Do you already have a list in mind for your new chief?
Actually, I don't. You know, on November 15th, we'll get to work on that. Right now, I'm trying to get there. We got a week and a half, and people are voting right now, and we're working extremely hard to be able to get there so we can have a new mayor and lead this city forward. But that's what it's going to take. I tell you, on November 15th, we're going to get up early, and we're going to get started. You know, I have a good working knowledge of this city, 8 years on the city council. I understand the departments. I understand what needs to be done, and I'm looking forward to building an incredible team. I mean, a great team that's going to, you know, lead this city and serve this city. See it be the worst place to be a criminal and the best place to live, best place to raise a family and to work. And that's our goal. We're going to stop nothing short of that.
All right. Well, let's move on to something else that's also brewing in the city. And that is the federal government is cracking down on immigration. Albuquerque could be affected if it declares itself a sanctuary city, or even if it doesn't and the feds think that you're not cooperating enough with immigration enforcement. What do you plan to do in that regard, both with the idea of a sanctuary city and dealing with the feds if they want your police to enforce federal law?
Well, we're going to comply with federal law. We're not going to be a sanctuary city. My opponent has said clearly that he will make Albuquerque a sanctuary city and protect, you know, criminals that are in our jail system and criminals that are in our transfer center. So I don't believe that that's the right relationship that we should have with the federal government. And not our job to enforce immigration. It's their job to force immigration, but it's also not our job to hinder them in that process. And I think we have a very smart, sensitive, and you know, process right now that protects people's constitutional rights. And we allow ICE agents to come into our transfer center no matter who you are, if you're arrested in the city of Albuquerque, then the idea is we have a relationship that we cooperate with federal law. And so I have no intention of changing that. I will ensure that Albuquerque is not a sanctuary city.
All right. Well, let's talk about jobs and unemployment. New Mexico has the highest unemployment rate in the nation. Albuquerque does better, but we're still above the national average in the city and even above Santa Fe, which does have a higher minimum wage than Albuquerque. What's your plan on creating jobs?
Well, I'm certainly not going to put a burden on small businesses like has been proposed over and over. My opponent proposes those kinds of initiatives that really are going to put a burden on the job creators. Wealth goes where it's welcome, and it's going to leave where it's not welcome. And right now, because of the proposals and like sick leave and other things that put a burden on investment and small business, it hurts our ability to be able to grow and to create jobs. So I'm going to look for ways to lessen that burden on small businesses that create 80% of the jobs in our city. And we're going to focus on our strengths. We have incredible strengths in our city in industries that have the best potential to grow with directed energy, our health and biosciences. Big data. We're number 6 in big data right now. We have the ability to grow, to expand on that. So the city is going to be a good partner to investment. I mean, people that are creating jobs in this city, and we're going to be a good partner to small business owners, restaurants and mom-and-pop stores and brick and mortar, and not just the tech industry, but all kinds of different ways that we can help not only existing businesses to grow and thrive. I think of Dion's. Dion's is a homegrown restaurant, and now they've expanded, and now they're exporting their product to Colorado. I mean, that's a homegrown product that's exported into other states and bringing wealth here into Albuquerque. So I'm going to help small businesses like that to be able to grow and thrive.
You're listening to Equal Time with Martha Burke. We're talking with Dan Lewis, candidate for Albuquerque mayor. The runoff is November 14th. Dan Lewis, you mentioned that you were against the recent city ordinance that voters actually defeated that was to allow workers to earn sick leave at the rate of an hour per 30 hours worked. I know you were against it, and you just now said that you did not think it was a good idea. What would you say about the ability for workers to take off if they are sick? You just mentioned a restaurant. A lot of the opposition to defeating it has been that if workers come to work sick, they could spread disease. What's your answer to that?
The vast majority of businesses in this city take care of their families and provide incredible benefits to them. But there's no city in the world that's ever mandated, a city government that's ever mandated itself into a prosperous city. It's never happened in that way. We don't tax ourselves into being a prosperous city. We don't put the burden on small business owners. We provide the kind of atmosphere and environment for businesses and job creators to thrive. And that's how our economy expands and grows and more jobs are available. And we lift people out of poverty in this city by helping the job creators. That's how we ensure that people get a high paying job to be able to take care of their family with great benefits. But, the proper relationship of city government is not for the city council to be the HR department of every business in this city. And that's what that ordinance would have done. There's over 45 people that voted against it. They saw that it was a bad idea. And I'm about helping families. I'm about lifting people out of poverty in a way that's going to truly help them, not just with government mandated type of initiatives that all they're going to do is really just keep jobs from coming here and they're not going to help our city to prosper.
Well, do you support sick leave in principle?
Of course. My company offers sick leave and paid time off. Of course I do.
Has it damaged your business to offer it?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's a good thing. And again, the vast majority of businesses in the city do what we do. But for the city government, for government to mandate that on small businesses, I mean, these are businesses. And if you look at the business that I run, I mean, these are people, personal, people that have made big investments that barely scrape by at times. I mean, the burden of being able to own a small business, I mean, there's an incredible burden on that. Governments don't start jobs. Governments don't create jobs. I mean, people do. When they risk their capital and they risk their reputation, they stay up all night, they carry that burden of, keeping people employed and providing a good product. I think that, we have to have the right perspective on the people that actually start jobs and actually create jobs for people in this city. And I think that there's an automatic, this is a business against families. That's not the issue here. This is about families, families that some families that'll be helped and some that'll be hurt.
All right, well let's move on because there's a big issue you're going to have to deal with pretty much from day one, and that is the Albuquerque Rapid Transit or the ART project. It was highly controversial when it came up. You voted for it once as a councilman.
No, I didn't.
You voted against it, I think in the end, but doesn't make any difference now. You're going to be stuck with it if you're the mayor. So, how do you plan to deal with it? Do you have plans for it going forward?
Well, first of all, I never voted for it. I never had a vote for ART. I've always stood against the ART. The initial votes were divided. And, some of my opponents, and this is the last election, tried to make it sound like, that I voted for it. I didn't. If you understand municipal bonding and municipal budgeting, you divide up capital dollars into general areas. And so before the ART was ever defined as ART, I served on the city council and we divided up some of those capital dollars. And so I never voted for the ART. I always stood against it, always stood for the landowners along Central Avenue and the stakeholders along there. Look, this was a pet project, and my opponent celebrates a pet project of a politician. That's what it is. And he's going to offer a whole lot more like them. And he also wants to expand it. I don't believe we need to expand it and take away money from the airport, which is what he's proposed. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that it works. We have to make sure that it works. And if it doesn't work, we're going to open up directed lanes to general traffic. We're going to make sure that the economic development, the private investment is happening like was promised. And if not, then we're going to change it.
You have had, Mr. Lewis, an ethics complaint filed against you just in the last few days. Basically, it says that you violated the emoluments clause because you are a principal in a company that has a contract with the city. How do you respond to that ethics complaint?
The people who filed that didn't do their homework. I've already been cleared of it. 2 years ago, Inspector General looked at it. I actually asked the Inspector General to review it. The Inspector General came back after a thorough review and investigation and said that he didn't see anything appropriate there. It's all documented. It's been on the city's website for 2 years. And he recommended that I disclose in future budgets. So I disclosed to the prop departments. I did that. And it's all documented. It's all been on the city's website for 2 years. I've been cleared of it. In fact, there was never even a question about it, but I've actually absolutely complied with the code. So the people that file these frivolous suits, and I'd say this, for 8 years in public service, I've never had an ethics complaint filed against me until a week and a half before an election, a mayor's race. And after 8 years, one gets filed against me here, and it's frivolous, and I've already been cleared of it.
Well, our time is almost out. There's a lot more we could talk about, but we don't have time. Is there anything you'd like to leave the voters with as a last word?
Well, yeah, my opponent has hearings, ethics hearings. I mean, we can have a mayor that's effective and ethical. And I think that's what I want to leave people with, is that it's going to lead this city forward and see it thrive.
Dan Lewis, candidate for Albuquerque mayor, thanks so much for being with us. You've been listening to Equal Time with Martha Burke.